Hey, folks, welcome to the show. An icon in television. That's who I have on the show this week. Al Roker, weather anchor and feature anchor of Today and co-host of the Third Hour of Today, and has a great new book out with a great title, You Look So Much Better in Person. It's a humorous collection of essays, but what's really great about it is it really is sort of, from my perspective in reading it, a how to deal with your career, how to deal with adversity, how to deal with life. So I'm so glad you wrote the book, and it's great to have you on, Al.
Well, thanks, sir. It's good to be on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't realize this about you until I read the book, but you know, you were doing weather in college. Like, did you know as a kid or teenager that TV was where you wanted to be?
Well, you know, I didn't want to be on TV. I wanted to be in TV. I wanted to work as a writer or a producer or a director. I didn't think that I had the looks to be on television. But as it turns out, you can look kind of goofy and be a TV weatherman. So when my department chairman, the late Dr. Louis B. O'Donnell, I was a sophomore, coming up on the end of my sophomore year at SUNY Oswego, they were getting ready to start a full 6 and 11 o'clock newscast on the weekend in Syracuse. This was, like I said, 74. He thought I could do it. And so I did a tape at school. He worked at the station part-time, took it down, and I got called in for an audition. I was like, what? Are you kidding? And like I write in You Look So Much Better in Person, all of a sudden I get this job. And my whole wardrobe consisted of like three or four pairs of overalls and a flannel shirt. You know, so now I got to get a couple of suits. So I go, of course, to that bastion of men's fashion, Jacques et Panay. And I figure, look, I'm putting myself through school. I don't have a lot of money, but there was this outfit for $59. It was a four piece outfit. It was a suit jacket, a reversible vest, and two pairs of pants.
There you go.
And they said on the thing by the display, it says like 90 combinations. So I bought, there was a lime green number with a dark vest, and then a checkered, and then a dark brown and a faux denim. And so I had these three suits. So I figured, look, I've got almost 300 combinations here that I could mix and match. And there wasn't a natural fiber within 10 miles of these suits. You know, if anybody had opened up a Bic lighter, I would have burst into flame.
I think the key to your career, honestly, talented, handsome man, the faux denim. I think that's the key to why you made it.
Yeah. I mean, the two words you want together, faux denim.
Oh my God, that's so great. It's like the precursor to Men's Warehouse, right? Men's Warehouse basically ripped off that whole theme from Jacques. That's great. You know, one of the things you talk about, which, and I'm so glad you do, because it's about adversity, hurdles, rejection, sticking to your dream, sticking to your vision. You know, I had another career. I was on Wall Street. I was a lawyer and investment banker, and then I left to go into entertainment and clean up the elephant shit, as they say. And basically, how you deal with rejection and how I've so admired how you stuck to your guns, and you tell a great story that at one point you were told by your boss, you don't have what it takes to be a weather person. Maybe you should be a film or television critic. And you say, quote, sticking to your guns certainly means looking at the big picture and making the best choice in a given situation, but it doesn't end there. What do you mean when you say it doesn't end there? What's the next part of that?
Well, the next part of that is A, being prepared to back that up. You know, if you're gonna play that hand, you got to be prepared to go with it. But that, you know, sometimes something happens. It happens for a reason. If you are told you're not good enough in what you think you want to do, you've got two choices. You can look at it and go and reassess, and maybe that person was right and they're doing you a favor. But if you really believe in your gut that this is what you want to do, then by God, you should do it. One of the most influential books I've ever read, besides mine, is Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. And the premise of the book is that usually your gut instinct, your first reaction, is the correct one. And when that news director told me that, my first reaction was, I think I'm pretty good at this, but I don't think that I've reached my potential. But if I veer off that path, I know I'll never reach that potential.
Yeah, you say it was my career, my livelihood, and my dream, and that's what's more important. And what's more important than that? And what do you? It had to be scary because you talk about walking into his office and basically saying, you know, you say I could have lost my job that day, or things could have remained the status quo. And those are those rare moments in a person's life that you kind of take stock of yourself. How did you gin up the gumption and the confidence to walk in? You were so committed and believed in yourself so much that the idea of losing your job was not a major concern?
Well, no, it was, but I just felt like one of two things. Either A, he'd back down, or B, you know, I'd have to start looking for another gig. Luckily for me, the decision was in a sense taken out of my hands, and that I was prepared to go in there. And then, of course, this was pre cell phone days and things like that. When I got into the office, I found out that our news director had decided to seek other opportunities. And so he was gone on that Monday. And it was like, and the new guy didn't know about the old guy's decision to get rid of me. So like I bought some time. It was like,
can I just say that's the power of faux denim? The guy knew that he was not
going to,
he wasn't going to beat a guy with faux denim. So he hightailed it out of town. That's what that's
about. It's my superpower.
Exactly. There's two quick things before we go. What is, look, I think I know why you're so successful. You're very accessible as a personality on television. You're likable. You also, you use humor, and you talk about using humor in a racist situation where a racist comment was made in your presence, but you use it based on your dad, and your dad said, you know, how you react not only reveals something about who you really are, but if it also has the power to change the situation. And I think you're accessible, but you're also a guy that, you know, just you gave a vibe that, you know, this is a real guy. He's an average person in a good way. How have you used humor to help you navigate your career? Obviously on camera, but more importantly off camera.
Well, look, you know, it's a great equalizer. You know, it's like, I always remember Steve Martin used to say, you can't be angry and play the banjo. You know, if somebody brings a smile, even if you're making a point, it's hard to be angry with them. In the early 80s, I was working in Cleveland, Ohio, and this, you know, anchor man we had, you know, one night after the show, a homeless guy who lived, you know, hung around our station, you know, came up with a rolled up newspaper and bopped him on the back of the head. The guy happened to be black, you know, who bopped him with the newspaper. There was no harm, no foul, ruffled his hair, and that was about it. And next day, you know, this guy, Doug, is telling everybody about his attack. And we fast forward to the 6 o'clock news, and he was married to his co-anchor, and she's about to introduce me. We're live on the air. And before she can start, the red light's on, and he goes, Amona, before you introduce Al, I don't know if you heard this, but last night after the 11 o'clock news, one of your people attacked me.
And
it's like, time stands still. What do I do? This guy was like the Walter Cronkite of our Cleveland. And, you know, I'm like, and so I just look at him. I said, Doug, why in the world would a weatherman attack you? Just punch against the weather. And you know, the switchboard lit up. People were outraged. And he was suspended and then came back and demoted to a field anchor. And eventually he and his wife left the station. And I could have gone after him, you know, hammer and tongue. I could have, you know, but yeah. I don't know that the moment deserved that. I mean, it deserved something. And I could have gone with outrage, but I think pointing out the absurdity of the comment with something as disarming as humor, although I it sounds very highfalutin talking about it now, but I just thought this was a better way to go.
Yeah, I think if you got outraged, even though it would be justified, it would have been polarizing, unfortunately. And I think you're right. I think what you did was a way to keep everybody in the tent and see your side of it.
You know, it's so funny. I was trying to make a decision about my representation when I bought that book. And I literally read it. And I will tell you, you ought to pick it up, Blink by Malcolm Gladwell.
I will.
And one of the things it says, as simple as taking a yellow sheet of legal pad and write out pros and cons, I came to a point I thought, I think I need to make a change. But it was very difficult because this person had been very good to me, had been like a second dad almost. In fact, it was the same age as my dad was. But when I wrote it out, pros and cons, I knew what the answer was.
Yeah.
And you know, I did make that choice. It was difficult, made it. And it turned out to be the right thing to do.
Yeah, well, it's a scary time for me, but this is giving me a lot of hope, so I appreciate it. The book is You Look So Much Better in Person, and just a fixture and an icon in television, and so great to meet you. You're one of the good guys, and I'm glad everything's been so great for you in your life, and don't get rid of that faux denim. It looks good on you.
Never.
All right, take care.